We know that the world would be a different place. And I know for sure that we would not have a Christmas day to celebrate. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today. I probably wouldn't be a pastor either if Jesus didn't die. I would probably sit down somewhere in the Himalaya mountain reciting the Buddhist Bhagavad Gita, I think, yeah. I wouldn't be here. So for Christ, he not only kept his promise, he fulfilled it. Young people, the word today is fulfilled or to be fulfilled. If you count the word, three's already, right? It's been three already. I helped you. Pastor JP so mean to you. I have to be nice, at least at Christmas time. So Pastor JP sit right there. He kind of, Pastor Jim, you shouldn't say that. All right, before we, and I'd like to read the text to you this morning, and I also want to tell you this. I'm going to be preaching my sermon a little short too, because I want to let you go out to see your family early. The church will close down today. No potluck, no anything, okay? So after this, you go home and join your beautiful families for Christmas time. Let us pray before we reading the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 79. Father in heaven, you send your son Jesus Christ to come down here to experience life as a human being. You give us that promise and you fulfilled it. And Lord, we thank you for that because of Jesus kept his promise. And you kept his promise, Father. We thank you so much. And as we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ today, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, may the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. This is right after Prophet Zechariah can speak again, and he began to prophesy. He said, now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and that he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remissions of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day springs from our high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. As we celebrate the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, let us not forget that we have to wait for the same King, the same God who will come again. And that is His promise. Sometimes it's easy to get caught by the bright, by the beautiful presents and other needy things that you can enjoy in life during Christmas time. And sometimes we forget about the same God, the same Lord will come again. Will come again. So this Christmas time is as a reminder. I would like to share with you that while we celebrate the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, the same Lord will come again. The same Lord will come again to fulfill His promise. And as we know that, many prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled in His birth in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. Many prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled in His death and resurrection. But some prophecies about Jesus remain unfulfilled. And what are they? What are they? You see, we have many promises that Christ will return. Many promises. The promise of Jesus, as you see in the book of John, chapter 14. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Let's see Jesus' promises that He will return again. Chapter 14. Jesus promises through the book of John, chapter 14, verse 3, He says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Remember that Jesus fulfilled His promises in the past, so He's going to fulfill His promise again in the future. So He promises that He will come again. Even His angel promises that Jesus will come again. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. Remember, this is when Jesus ascending to heaven, chapter 10 to 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven.'" This is the promise of His angel, that He will come again. He will come again. Even the Apostle Paul witnessed that. Even the Apostle Paul say that, promised that as well. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, what happened in my book of Thessalonians? 34:7. I don't know my Bible enough, huh? This is very... I don't think I have my book of Thessalonians. Okay, chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Okay. I don't know, maybe your Bible has it, I don't. 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have not hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Okay. We continue to through verse 18. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The Apostle Paul clearly promises that our Jesus, our Lord, will come back again the second time. But the question we have to ask, why? Why Jesus have to come back? Why Jesus have to return? One thing that we know for sure, that the reason Jesus has to return, because he has to complete his work. He has to complete his work in the nations, in the nation. The scripture concerning his work in the nation must be fulfilled, must be fulfilled. Because the prophet wrote in his atoning work, because Jesus said he will save this world. Therefore, he has to be here. He has to be here to fulfill his work of his redeeming work. So, they wrote in his death, according to Psalm chapter 2, and Isaiah chapter 3, over 53. So Jesus fulfilled his death. Jesus also fulfilled his resurrection as well. The book of Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 through 11. You can read it at home because this is a long chapter. Okay. So the prophets also wrote of his coming kingdom. And these prophecies had to do with Israel and the other nation, because Jesus and God promised to Abraham, Israel, and other nation as well. So many of these prophecies of his kingdom are not fulfilled. Many of them are not fulfilled. Zechariah prophesied that the conquest of Israel's enemy in Luke, if you go back in Luke chapter 1, verse 7 to 74, these promises has to be fulfilled. Has to be fulfilled. If you look again, go back to the book of Luke. Chapter 1, verse 7 to 74. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our father and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And this promise hasn't fulfilled yet. So Christ must return to fulfill these promises to Israel and the other nations. Christ also must return to complete his work in nature, and we know that Christ did that. He had to exercise his authority over nature during his ministry. As you see, as you read through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he stilled the raging sea, as you see in the book of Mark. He walked on water, as you see in the book of John, chapter 6. And he rode on unbroken colt. He has to exercise his authority over nature, over nature. So Christ exercised his authority over nature in his death as well. The sun was darkened during the time he was hung on the cross. There was a great earthquake during that time as well. And when Christ returned to establish his kingdom, the earth will be fruitful. The earth will be fruitful. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. This is a promise that when he returned, the earth will be fruitful. Chapter 35 in the Old Testament. Isaiah talking about the glory, the future glory of Zion. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. So when Christ returns, the desert will be blossom as the rose, as the rose. So he has to return, he must return to fulfill, to complete his work in nature. And the last point, Christ must return to complete his work in new believers. Or in us, among us. Christ begin a good work in us at conversion. When the moment we accept Christ, he was there to fulfill his work. We are made new creature. The moment we receive him, we become new creature. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said that we are made new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are we a new creature? Are we new creatures? What does it mean when old thing, when he mean, when old thing pass away and we become new? What does it mean? And I know, you know that. And the Holy Spirit, the moment we accept Christ and we become new creatures, the Holy Spirit will take up residence in us. As you've seen in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to that text. Let the scripture tell us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. First Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. So we know that the moment we accept Christ, we no longer belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ. So Christ, his Holy Spirit, will take up residence in us. Will take up residence in us. We embark on God's great plan for our lives. Therefore, from now on, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ, because he lives in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We go back a few books. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We all call according to His purpose. So during this Christmas time, we have to remember that He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Because we know that we are not yet what we ought to be. We are still works in progress. We live in the period of being sanctified by Christ. We still walk toward that goal. We still walk toward that goal. God is not through with us yet. And when He returns, when Christ returns, we will be like Him. We will be like Him. This is the only chance that we can be like Him when He returns again. 1 John 3:2, my last text. First John 3:2, when Christ returns, we will be like Him. Beloved, Apostle John said, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When He comes again, we will be like Him. And that's a promise. And we know that because our God has fulfilled His promise in the past. So He has to fulfill His promise right now that He will come again. He will come again. So the Christ of Christmas is coming again. As we are celebrating the birth of His Son, as we are celebrating His birth, let us remember that Christ, that same Christ, will come again. Don't forget that. Let's look forward toward that coming. He's preparing us for that great day. Are you ready for Christ's return? Are you ready for Christ's return? So, when we go back home today, celebrating His birth, opening up presents, let us remember that. When Christ comes again the second time, we will have more presents, more surprises, and we will have beautiful songs to listen to when Christ comes again. And we will be like Him. We no longer worry about this economic slowdown. Forget about that. We don't worry about struggling to find jobs anymore because Christ will be here with us. We will enjoy our life together with Him. And this is a promise that He will have for us, that He had for us. And He has to fulfill. That's why He has to come again. And let us look forward for that day. Amen. Let us pray with me together. Father in heaven, even though we want to celebrate Your birth, this is a happy occasion that Christ came this very first time and He fulfilled His promise. And now, and as we celebrate that occasion, very occasion He fulfilled at first at His birth, we want to look forward to the day when He comes again, Father. We thank You so much for that promise. And we know for sure that You will fulfill it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.